Financial news you can use. Financial planning, savings, retirement planning, tax and estate strategies, and more. This is Money Sense with Kevin Hegedus and Brent Lux. Kevin Hegedus, certified financial planner, is the founder of PWM Financial Services, Inc. and a registered portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners. If you would like to learn more about the financial services provided, call today to schedule a portfolio review or visit pwmprivatewealth.com. This is Money Sense with Kevin Hegedus and Brent Lux.
On our Money Sense program this weekend, we talk macro investing and global economic patterns with two special guests. We'll get the show going after this break.
Welcome to our Money Sense program. I'm your host, Brent Lux. A very interesting show for our listeners this weekend. We're joined by Kevin Hegedus, portfolio manager with Q Wealth Partners and the founder of PWM Private Wealth Council, along with a very special guest, and that would be Andy Constant. Andy is the CEO and CIO at Damped Spring Advisors, a macroeconomic research firm specializing in hedge fund strategies. Now, this is going to be a two-part series, so make sure you're checking back in with us next week for the second half on our Money Sense program. Kevin, Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Kevin, before we get into Andy here, explain a little bit what this strategy is and how it fits into the models that you've built for your clients at PWM.
Absolutely, Brent. And I just want to start by saying I'm so very pleased that Andy is with us today. You know, at Q Wealth, my business partner and myself co-manage a private pool, and it's called the Strategic Assets Fund. And it's made up of non-correlated assets. So what that means is that if the stock market or the bond market goes down, these assets tend to be less affected. And in some cases, they can very likely have positive returns in a down market. And you know, Brent, that's exactly what happened earlier this year when the S&P 500 was down 16.3%. Our fund actually had positive returns, and it's up very nicely year to date. Now, the fund holds some pretty unique assets. It holds things like music royalties, self-storage units, even infrastructure investments. So things like cell phone towers and fiber optic networks, cargo terminals, and even power metering and EV charging stations. And in fact, Northland Capital Partners, that's one of the firms that we access our infrastructure investments through, their largest customer is actually the Canada Pension Plan. So we're investing in exactly the same investments as CPP, which have never, you know, our clients have never had access to that in the past. So that's something that's really cool and a big win for PWM. And we also have commodities in there. So we have gold and silver. And, you know, later this year, we're going to be adding a farmland and ag land fund to the pool as well. Now, one of the sleeves within the fund is managed by Andy, and Q Wealth has an exclusive arrangement with Andy. So if you want to invest with him in Canada, you have to do it through one of the partners at Q Wealth. And I can't stress strongly enough how fortunate PWM and our clients are to have access to Andy's strategies. It's a huge win for us.
Well, no doubt. That's obviously very exciting for PWM and for your clients as well. Andy, again, welcome to our program. Would you be kind enough to start with your background and your experience, please?
Sure, Brent. I've been an investor, trader, market maker for 39 years. I graduated college with an engineering degree and found my way to Wall Street in 1986. I had the good fortune of being on the Brady Commission as Salomon Brothers' representative when the stock market crashed in 1987. And that really got me super excited about markets. And so I joined the equity floor at Salomon Brothers and then advanced through convertible bond trading, equity derivatives trading, and ultimately in my 18th year at Salomon and its successor companies, it was called Salomon Smith Barney at the time, and it was merged with Citigroup. I was running the global equity derivatives business for Salomon Brothers and a member of the equity management team when I decided to resign and start my own hedge fund. I did that for a number of years. It did okay. It was a relative value hedge fund using the strategies I knew from my derivatives and bond background. But after the financial crisis, I decided I wanted to, which I luckily avoided, I decided I wanted to understand macro and joined the preeminent firm that invests in a macro way, Bridgewater Associates, Ray Dalio's firm, and worked for them for a number of years. before deciding that the culture wasn't just right, wasn't quite right for me, and wanted to get back to a more active trading company. So joined another preeminent firm, Brevin Howard, where I worked for 4 years before starting Damp Spring. And Damp Spring, as you said, is designed to use my broad and fairly deep experience to help people navigate the their portfolio, the portfolio I manage, and hedge fund clients so that they can better understand what's happening in the world as it relates to macro investing.
Excellent. Can you give us some idea, outline what a discretionary macro fund is and how it's different from, say, a long-only equity fund?
Yeah, sure. So I think the key thing about understanding what you own as an investor is almost all of us should and do own a portfolio, long-only portfolio. Things like stocks, bonds, some of the alternatives that Kevin mentioned, and other assets that generally are available to the public and we all own. And those assets act in a certain way in an environment. Stocks go up, bonds go up and or down depending on what stocks are doing. And you get some diversification benefit by owning a broad range of assets. But you are exposed to one problem, and that is was manifest particularly for most investors in 2022 when both the bond market and the stock market fell. And in those circumstances, there's no hiding. You could have cash, but that was earning very low returns at the time. Or you could try something else. And what a discretionary macro fund and other funds that are so-called market neutral tries to isolate their exposure from the broad market of stocks and bonds, et cetera, and takes no view on that. So discretionary macro fund may be short equities, it may be long equities, it may be short bonds, it may be long bonds, it may trade in currency markets or commodities markets, all with the objective of trying to be uncorrelated to what we all own and should own, which is a long-term portfolio of assets. And so by adding an uncorrelated sleeve of capital to your existing long-only portfolio, you can have a better risk-adjusted return associated with that diversification. And so a macro fund does that. It provides a good macro fund, provides uncorrelated returns to a long-only portfolio.
Andy, I got a question for you. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, people shorting the market or maybe shorting different companies. And, you know, I think back, I guess, most recently, things like AMC Entertainment or GameStop or even Tesla. You know, people might even remember the book and the movie The Big Short, right, with Michael Burry. And he realized that there's a number of subprime loans that were in danger. He shorted them. He made a fortune. People talk about shorting. Can you describe, I guess, for the average person, for the layman out there, what shorting means, and then I guess describe, you know, I think a lot of people think it's a risky thing to do. They don't know how to do it properly on their own. So could you take a couple minutes and maybe speak to that for our listeners?
Sure. I'll come back to individual stocks, which is a unique version of that topic. But the bottom line is that the risk of owning an asset, a stock or a bond or the S&P 500 or a local index or a currency or whatever it is the same whether you're long or short. It can either go up or it can go down. If the odds were that it was going to go up and everybody knew it was going to go up, they would have already bought it and it would already have reflected the fact that everyone knew it was going to go up. So it's a coin flip. Being long or short is a coin flip with one caveat. Over the long term, assets go up. And thus, the longer if you hold a short for a long, long time, you're going to lose money. So the question is, can you be tactically long, tactically short, and net have no exposure, sometimes long, sometimes short, and earn excess returns? And that's what alpha is, and that's what a macro fund attempts to do. It's not staying strategic. It's not a short fund. It's not a fund that over time is going to lose you money. It's not a tail risk fund that pays away positive returns by hedging downside. It's a set of trades that the portfolio manager believes has excess return that is sometimes short and sometimes long. Now, when you talk about single names, I don't trade single names. I have a 20-year history at Salomon Brothers and then my own interest ever since trading single name equities. And it's a very difficult game to pick stocks. It's very competitive tries. And individual companies have a high degree of idiosyncratic risk and a high degree of what I would call, back in the old days, it used to be called insider trading. Now I would call it information advantage. And so I don't trade single names, but certainly there are both great stories of people making a single name short, and there are great stories about people losing all their money on a single name short. There are equally large number of people betting all of their net worth on a single name long and having great success and great drawdown. So again, I think it's difficult to stay short assets for a long period of time, and I never do. And it's useful to be able to tactically be short or long a market.
Yeah, and it sure worked out well, you know, a few weeks or I guess a month and a half ago now when the U.S. market was down 16%. And you were short at that point, and it, you know, worked out very, very well for you, but also very, very well in our fund because we had you as a sleeve within our strategic assets fund. So that was a huge benefit for our clients.
I'm glad it worked out.
We're going to have to take a quick break here, gentlemen. This is our first of two Money Sense episodes with special guest Andy Constant. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. This is Money Sense. Welcome back on our Money Sense program this weekend. For PWM Private Wealth Council, we've got Kevin Hegedus here and our special guest, Andy Constant, Andy CEO and CIO at Damped Springs Advisor. I got to ask you before we go any further here, where did you come up with the name for your company?
A damped spring is something I learned about in engineering, actually even before that in physics class. And it's really the best way to think about it is it's a shock absorber spring system for your suspension of your car. So depending on how springy your car is and depending on how well it's shocked or whether your shock absorbers are failing will really change the comfort when you go down a bumpy road. I think of markets as bumpy roads. And think about the spring and the things that dampen that experience.
Brilliant. Yeah, I get it. I see it. Okay, everything that's going on in the world these days, Andy Constant, what's your take on the markets and what lies ahead potentially here?
So it's very much a period of uncertainty as the Trump administration has undertaken a variety of fairly meaningful changes to the fiscal policy. What I would say is that there's been a lot of walk back to what was originally expected, and that's resulted in a market that, for now, is essentially unchanged from where it was on inauguration day. So investors have made no money owning assets and have had tremendous drawdowns, like mentioned, in late March, early April, and yet now are fully recovered their investments, but have made no real return. And so in that context, it makes sense to think about what these policies are. The first one was to restrict immigration. Even today, the Trump administration has started to walk back some of that restriction due to the demand of the farming industry and the hospitality industry that employs a lot of illegal immigrants, perhaps.
Yep.
But restricting immigration reduces the work pool. And one of the reasons why the economy was able to grow and inflation was able to fall after COVID was a significant influx of new workers to the workforce. And that's been removed. So that is inflationary in that there are fewer workers to make the stuff we need, and anti-growth in that there are fewer workers that can make the stuff we need. Now, that's been a policy, and so far he hasn't walked back that policy at all, but the rhetoric has changed today. The next step is there was a very strong push to reduce the footprint of the government. There was the Doge meme from Lutnick and Elon, and that had extremely ambitious goals of reducing the $7 trillion U.S. budget by $2 trillion in a year. Well, that's been walked back, and that is now only $9 billion. Not $2 trillion, but $9 billion. And so what is a shrinking of the government? It's highly anti-growth and disinflationary because the government stops spending, and the government is about 20 to 25% of the gross domestic product. It's spending. And so people have less money. The recipients of that spending have less money. So that has completely reversed. And so that anti-growth impulse is no longer strong. They also attempted to shrink the budget deficit and were not able to get it. Now it's called the One Beautiful Bill, Big Beautiful Bill. That is not reducing the deficit in a meaningful way. Some may say it's expanding the deficit. The last thing, and so that isn't anti-growth anymore, though it was a few months ago. Lastly, there is the tariffs. And that objective was to reshape global trade so that the U.S. would be able to onshore its production, create manufacturing jobs for the U.S. workforce, which are somehow preferred versus the jobs a majority of the U.S. workforce is already using in.
Mm-hmm.
And tariffs are a tax, despite what people say. Tariffs are a tax paid by either the consumer, the margin on by the importer or the exporter or in the currency markets. And it's usually spread over a bunch of those things. And we saw extreme tariff frenzy on Liberation Day and the resultant market. Since then, it's been consistent walkbacks, but we're going to end with tariffs being relatively high. And that should be in short-term inflationary and longer-term anti-growth. And so in that context, you have to then look at the asset market. The Fed is on pause. Long-term interest rates are relatively high than they were a year at the sort of tights last summer. And those are things that impact economic activity and tighten. So economic activity through the tariffs and through the immigration still and through the tightening of financial conditions still would make me think, and this is my view, that we're due for a slowdown, not a recession. That's another phase, but a slowdown in economic activity. And that should be good for bonds. It should allow the Fed to cut rates, but it isn't ultimately very good for equities, and in particular, equities priced where they are. And where that is there is an expectation of 11% year-over-year earnings growth, and the equity multiple, even versus the equity multiple all the last few years. So forget the 2000 multiple, but even relative to its more recent history, equity multiples are elevated. And so you have a combination of high growth expectations and high multiples that make it difficult to earn excess return being long equities. And so where am I today? I am thinking the economy is going to slow down. I think equities are fully priced. And I think the Fed will only cut rates when the economy slows. And so far it hasn't. And policymaker uncertainty is quite high. And now we have geopolitical uncertainty with the events in Iran last night. And so I think owning assets at this stage really requires some diversification. And from a portfolio manager standpoint, the uncertainty for me means my positions are relatively small versus where they were in January ahead of what was clearly anti-growth policy. And so I'm fairly balanced right now in my alpha portfolio, and I'm looking for an opportunity to add short equities if they were to go to all-time highs, for instance.
Andy Constant, we appreciate your insight. You're going to be joining us again next week on Money Sense. Kevin Hegedus will give the final words to you.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Andy. Anyone wants any more information on PWM or on Andy's investment strategies, please give us a call. 306-975-900, or go to our website at pwmprivatewealth.com. Thank you.
Thanks for your time. This is Money Sense.
Financial planning services are offered through PWM Private Wealth Council. Portfolio management services are provided by Q Wealth, a registered portfolio manager, investment fund manager, and exempt market dealer. PWM Private Wealth Council is an owner and partner in the Q Wealth Partnership. You've been listening to Money Sense.